Coming up today on the show, we're going to have some Disney discussions, and we're going to talk about a recent cruise. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode 441 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am hosting this week, and I am joined by John.
Hello. It's Figment.
Oh. I didn't scream Figment to me, but...
Well, that's the first line he uses in, well, yep. The first... It's when they're doing the hearing test, let's put it that way. It's not about listening with your ears. It's about listening with your imagination.
I'm imagining that we have Jason back today. He's here.
Is this thing on? Sorry, I've been lost. There's this mountain I've been hanging out in. They keep putting grass around me and installing these animatronics. And the other week, I got out because they finally, a boat went by, and I went down a big hill and jumped off. Then I got lost. I went on a raft journey. Wandered around an island, got stuck in a cave.
With a bear.
And then I fell asleep next to some guy at a fort.
He's been asleep for a while.
At least a civil war.
Yeah. So it's been an adventure. I finally made it home.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're back. I just thought you were on mute the whole time.
He's alive, folks. He was not lost in the dark web.
I am among the living. Maybe. Or I might live in Haunted Mansion. I don't know. One of the two.
That's where we all want to go. At the okay. Want to be one of the...
Speak for yourself.
Adam and I were having a discussion the other week about what we would do with each other's ashes if one of us died earliest. And I was telling him all the terrible places I was going to leave his ashes at Disney World. Wow.
Yes, all the places I hate. Like,
I'm guessing Figment was one of them.
It's going to be on the Big Blue World. Well, I think one of them.
I was one of them.
No, we're definitely going to. I did promise him if he ever goes first, I will go pour one out at La Cava for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll buy one of the expensive shots and pour right on the ground.
Or get a tablespoon of my ashes and dump it in and mix it up, and then I will forever be a part of you.
Okay. That's a little disturbing.
But we have a pact. We're like Hoot and Chief over here.
Just pour it out in the NPH place, like right there on top of his pack or whatever.
A black magic.
I have a feeling that you know how whenever like people get ultra wealthy and they like sponsor a building at like a university or something. I feel like if Adam ever like makes it that big, he's gonna try to get his name on the outside of La Cava. Like the Adam La Cava del Tequila.
I mean, not that. I would just want to drink on the menu. That's what I would want.
His own drink and maybe his own spot.
Yeah. They're always looking for sponsorships for the rides, like, you know, Chevrolet for Test Track, Adam Brown for La Cava. I mean, Toyota.
If I ever was like a celebrity, which the thing right now is to do your own tequilas, that's like McConaughey's got one and Ali. The Rock and all these other celebrities. Yeah, right. All right. But if I ever got to that level of having my own tequila, that's the first place I'd want it to be promoted is La Cava.
Exactly. There you go. It's exclusively at La Cava del Tequila.
Exactly.
At the Epcot Pavilion.
So you're going to have a procedure. You're going to have like you go to La Cava and then you ride the Three Caballeros.
Grand Fiesta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grand Fiesta Tour. Do you have a specific seat that you want in
front
your
seat.
Honor?
Front seat.
Yeah, it's got to be front, probably, yeah.
Left, right, middle.
So you have the stars to guide you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we were talking about this earlier this week, Adam. We didn't really think about it, but it's Three Caballeros, not Tres Caballeros. It just doesn't work as well in the song, maybe, is why.
Tres Caballeros, almost even said it wrong.
Yes.
I don't know.
Tres Caballeros.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. So
we have friends that their last name is Caballero, and there just happens to be three of them. So
They pronounce the L.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious.
Direct translation being knight, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
The three knights. Yeah.
Of the round table.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm back. I'm glad to be here. You know,
Well, we're glad to have you. And we've learned a lot pre-show about some of the things you've been up to, which are the three caballeros on any of these cards from, what is
Not
it called again?
Not yet. The Disney Lorcana.
Lorcana. I keep saying that. I keep wanting to say that wrong.
Yeah. So one Disney of the Lorcana. Things I've been into with my son, over the last, I don't know, like year.
Yeah.
He's always loved Pokemon cards, but I got into the point where I started following people on YouTube that like open cards, and I started to understand like actual what's valuable, what's not valuable. So I kind of got into it too, where we would start buying Pokemon cards. Uh-huh. I would sleeve them. I would look up what they're worth. You know, we have way too many. I've been trying to organize them, but we open more than I can organize. I have like a whole set where I'm and I just have my whole dining table. But then I had seen late last year that Disney was releasing a new trading card game, Disney Lorcana. And yeah. One of the things that I saw was it was very hard to get cards. I have some cast member friends down there at Disney and some other people live down there. They were able to get some, like I think at Disney Springs, right when it opened up. But buying them, especially early on, it was basically hard. And there's been three releases. There's like the first chapter, which is the initial set. There is that. Rise of the Floodborn, I think, is the name of the second set, and then one that just came out this past weekend, Into the Inklings. I went out, actually, and watched an Atlanta United preseason game in Athens, Georgia.
Yeah.
It was held at the UGA soccer campus, and on the way back, I stopped at a card shop up in Duluth, Georgia, where I was shopping around for Pokemon cards, and I saw they had boxes of Lorcana, and I hadn't seen them before. So I picked some up, started opening them, and I just really got into it because obviously, like, Pokemon's been fun. It's my son's thing. He, of course, loves Pokemon. I grew up with Pokemon, but, you know, I prefer the original 151. You get into these new Pokemon, and I don't know what half of these Pokemon are. But with the Disney stuff, you know, this is right in my wheelhouse. I'm just really enjoying it. And they have these really rare cards, these enchanted cards that are worth a lot if you can get one. And after opening, I don't know, over 1,000 cards worth, I've gotten one and it's worth like $180. So,
right. So it's similar to Pokemon, I guess, in that there is a game.
There is a game. It's like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon. And I actually don't even know the rules. I know there's something to do with ink and there's different colors of ink. And, you know, you have your characters and you have songs. So like the characters can sing a song that does something for them. So like the different types of cards are like the character cards, the song cards, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas with like Pokemon, you have like a Pokemon card and item card. And now they have like places in the new set where like they can go to Cruella de Vil's manor or like Kuzco's palace or things like that.
Yeah. And there's obviously a large pool of characters to pull from all the Disney movies and whatever.
And I've been opening it and I'm like, who is this? I'm like, what is this from?
Yeah, like the card, your legendary card.
My enchanted card.
Sorry. That you showed me. I was like, it's from Atlantis, right?
Atlantis. Lost Empire. It's Kaida or Kida. I don't even know how you say her name. Princess Kaida Kagash.
I don't even know if I've watched that movie all the way through.
I just remember the trailer for it.
Atlantis is waiting.
I just remember that.
Are we talking about the 2001 film?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
The animated film. Yep.
Who was that the voice, the main character? Was it Michael J. Fox?
Let me see.
Yeah, it was. James Garner was in that movie. He voiced the character.
This was somewhat during the dark years, is when they began.
It says Jim Varney was a character in there. It must have been one of his last.
Interesting. I have to go back and watch that film now.
Because he died in 2000. Anyway. Yeah, sorry.
One thing that was interesting for me is I grew up watching DuckTales, but I completely forgot who Kit Cloudkicker was.
Oh, well,
That
was
But he was in Tailspin, wasn't he?
Yeah, Baloo.
Yeah.
Why was he in DuckTales?
So I've got a lot of Kit. The latest set's got a lot of Kit Cloudkicker. I was like, what's this? I'm like, oh, DuckTales. I'm sorry. I remember this. I remember this.
Tailspin.
I don't remember from DuckTales. It was in Tailspin.
But that was the same era. Cartoon era.
That was Baloo's. That was the sidekick.
Yeah, the kid, yeah.
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 He had There's also
Baloo.
Yeah.
But then there's also like Baloo von Brunwald, the 13th. And then what's interesting is in the most recent set, they have a variation where this is the first time they've done this. They have a Dalmatian puppy, but there's five different versions of that Dalmatian puppy. And they're actually worth quite a bit because something about that says that you can, like you, a traditional deck is like 60 cards or something. I don't actually know how to play the game, but the thing says you can have 99 Dalmatian puppies in a deck. So it's it's trying to say that you can like work up to 101 Dalmatians, right? I have a Cruella de Vil card, and then they have some of the actual like named puppies in this.
Right. It was so, only like 12 that were named, right?
So are those first chapter cards, I'm assuming?
That was Into the Inklings. In the first chapter, the best card I have is I have a Maleficent Dragon, but I have a whole box yet. I haven't yet opened. I'm hoping to get that Elsa that's worth like $700.
So you have a box of first chapter you haven't opened yet?
And a box of Rise of the Floodborne I haven't opened.
Oh, okay.
So I have two more boxes I have yet to open. And I love the art on it too.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's really cool. I think, you know, to me, it actually finally clicks because, like, I like open Pokemon cards, but for these, I can appreciate the cards for what they are. Like, I want to keep as many of them as I can.
Yeah. So, along those lines, what is your favorite card to look at? Like, your favorite one that you have, whether it's worth a bunch or not? What's your favorite one?
Obviously, I love the fact that I pulled that nice card, but some of the common cards are not too bad. I really like the Genie one I got. There is, let me see here, Genie Supportive Friend. I got the holographic version of it. It's worth like $3. So not the $180 is the other one.
Which category
it's a super
card
rare,
is that?
But I thought it was really nice. I like the Genie one. There's also like a common card that's like Genie Cramped in the Layup. I thought was really cool. You know, all of the Aladdin stuff, which we can talk about my cruise in a minute. Maybe I'm in an Aladdin kick because on the cruise I just went on, I actually sat down one day by myself. It was one of the days that it was sunny. I sat on the pool deck and watched Aladdin from beginning to end on the deck.
The original.
Just in the sun. The original.
That was always one of my favorites of that era, anyway.
Yes.
I preferred it over the critically acclaimed Lion King, actually, so...
In the first chapter, obviously, I love that I've got the Mickey, the like original Mickey, which I feel like that's just going to gain value. In the Pokemon card realm, Charizard always commands the most money. You think Mickey would command the most money, but it's not. It's what you might not be too surprised at. In the original set, the most expensive card is an Elsa. So like Frozen is the money card.
The money, yeah.
And is it because of its rarity or just because?
Well, yeah, the popularity, there's a very rare Mickey card, but it's not as worth as much as the Elsa card.
Yeah.
It's all about what someone will be willing to pay for it, pretty much.
Wolfplume?
Right. Is this strictly animated characters or are there any live action?
So far, it's all animated. I mean, I don't know if they keep releasing it.
Live action
I haven't seen
cool.
too many Pixar or anything. I think eventually we'll get to Pixar. We get to Pixar, of course, I'll want to get Wally stuff because that's always been my favorite Pixar side.
Wally.
Interesting. It was a whole new world.
That's actually the name of a card. Whole new world.
I just had to.
And who's on it?
Aladdin? Jasmine?
Let's see. I don't remember what that one looks like, but it is. It's the name of a card.
I'm sure it's Aladdin.
It's in the original set I have. It's a super rare. I have the holographic version worth $11 and the non-holographic version worth $8.
Cool. Wow.
I don't know. If you're interested in collecting, of course, you should go check them out. I think they've been giving some away at Disney World. I'm going to like check that out if they ever have a giveaway. I've been very meticulous where I am documenting every card I have and what it's worth. So I haven't sold any.
You mentioned maybe at Disney Springs. Is there a specific store? Is it World of Disney, or is there any particular
place? Well, I don't
know
if they're selling them right now. I just know that I have friends that when it first came out, when they release sets, they'll do like a virtual queue, and you can get in line and get a giveaway or buy something.
Okay.
Right, because like the D23 Mickey giveaway is worth a lot. So I'm imagining if we can get a D23 this year, they'll probably have a card that you can only get a D23.
Right.
They'll end up being worth a lot one day. You know?
Interesting. More on that later. That'll be interesting. Cool. See if we can get out there this year.
So I want to hear about the magic.
Yeah, let's bring the magic to us. Because you
the magic.
Sailed out of New Orleans.
I did. On the February 16th is when we got on the boat. The ship.
Yeah.
Boat ship.
Pretty boat.
5-night sailing out of New Orleans on the Disney Magic.
So this is your first time not doing Canaveral, right?
Right. I've only ever sailed on the Dream up till this point. This was my fourth Disney cruise, so I am now one away from gold. So my next cruise will
be
the next two.
Okay.
But I have two dreams and two fantasies.
What are your dreams and my bad.
That's a different podcast now.
You have three dreams and a magic.
Yeah, three dreams and a magic. I've done one with you. Of course, I missed having you on this ship.
Smaller ship, right?
Yeah, it's a smaller ship. It's an original. It's much smaller. I won't go step by step, but I'll talk about a few things maybe in somewhat chronological order. Sailing out of New Orleans, first and foremost. We got there, most of us did, the night before. I sailed with my son, my ex-wife, and then also there were two other families of kids that are in my son's class. So he had three other kids. There was a set of twins and another kid, and then their parents that were all there. So we had like, what is that? That makes 8 or 6 adults and 4 children. It was out of New Orleans. That morning before we boarded the ship, we of course went to Cafe Du Monde and got our beignets.
Of course.
My boarding time, because I was late setting everything up, was supposed to be like 1:45, but we got there early. You're earlier than that. They weren't really checking until you were supposed to go into the door. But compared to Port Canaveral, New Orleans is a mess.
Really?
Right. There's like a space that you like drop off everybody, and then you go get in this line to follow a golf cart that takes you away from the terminal and across the street into this giant grass parking lot that has a big fence around it that says future home of Top Golf.
Okay.
And then you pay somebody like $140 to park in an open grass lot for 5 nights.
Yeah.
And they're just like, go park over there.
No covered parking at all?
Well, apparently if you're like one of the first to arrive or you're like concierge, I think maybe you get covered parking or somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But it was not covered, just parked out in the open. And then you have to get on a bus back. But it all worked out. We got in. Once I was in the terminal, though, you know, now that Disney has control, because that's all New Orleans. Disney, like in Canaveral, Disney owns it, owns the cruise terminal.
Right.
Or like controls it. Once you're in, it's the Disney magic coming back. And, you know, we're able to get on the ship. I would say the boarding process for the magic was very different. You know, like how in the Dream, you both have been on the Dream.
Yeah.
You're like announced, and then you walk onto the ship into the main. But the entrance for this ship is above the main atrium. It overlooks the main atrium, but it's above. So you kind of like walk in and then get announced and walk along the balcony, and Minnie's there waving at you.
Oh, okay.
But we got on about 2 o'clock or so, 2:30.
So you don't get announced, or you did get announced?
You do get announced. You do get announced.
It's a little different.
Just a little different.
Okay.
A couple of things that I noticed that are different. Number one, they're back to doing the muster drills, not the way that we did it, where you can just check in, which I liked, where you're just like, I found it. Bye.
Right.
You like actually have to muster.
Right.
You actually had to attend and stand there.
Yeah, you had to attend and stand there. We kept calling it the mustard drill and trying to tell the kids that it was like, you have to taste some mustard. And like, which was your favorite mustard? I was like, I preferred the Grey Poupon. Personally.
Of course.
I was really into the
fancy,
the fancy stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
But a couple of things I noticed, of course, is the size of the ship is much smaller, which to me, I kind of liked. There were only a few times where I noticed like there's a little bit less going on in general, but not too much less going on.
It's like 25 years old.
But it's been recently dry docks, and I could tell.
Right.
That it was recently dry. I'm just saying they can't increase capacity very much, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like there's maybe a few more spaces that people can go do stuff, but it wasn't that bad of a like I'm missing stuff to do, really. Mm-hmm. This is also the longest cruise I've been on Disney. I've always done 3 nights. This is a 5-night, which I really enjoyed having those extra nights because I feel like in 3 nights, by the time you get used to it, it's time to get off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
So we did 5 nights. Also, it worked out really well having an ocean port room. I didn't have a veranda. I just had the porthole, which was perfectly fine by me because you can always go out on a balcony upstairs. There's an open balcony in lots of other places. So the stateroom was good. Everything about that's always very well done.
Yeah.
That. Let's see. What else would you like to know about the cruise? I could go step by step, but would you like to?
I wanted to ask about the layout of the ship. Was it better, smoother, crazier, more complicated?
I think it was similar, crazier. A couple of things that I really liked was on, I guess it's deck 3. I was staying on deck 2. So deck 3, along the side of the ship, as you're heading off to one of the dining rooms, there's a recently updated lounge there called the Soul Cat Lounge, which has been rethemed to be more like soul-themed. And that's one of my favorite spots that I liked on the ship. They have a lot of good bourbon and stuff like that, but also that's also where they did a lot of good drawing classes. I did a Disney Parks Trivia Level 2 there, where I scored an 8 out of 20. It was not easy.
Okay.
I mean, some of those questions, I was like, I don't even know if Adam was here, I'd get this right.
You know, one of the things I love about the cruise ships is you do get to still experience those animation classes that you used to get to do in the studios.
Yeah, I did a Baby Groot animation class, so I drew a Baby Groot.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one of those places. It's like sort of an adult level lounge, but it's open during the day. It's never adults only. The kids came and sat with us. I did a trivia there. I did an art class there. And I also had several cocktails from there. So and that's where you like get the little snack nuts and whatever. And the kids loved all that.
Yeah.
So it was good. So that layout was good. The top deck was good. There was no aqueduct, but they had 2 main slides. I never actually got in any of the pools. I just got my feet wet because I was like, that's not my thing.
Yeah. Pools are small anyway.
Yeah. The kids did some of the stuff. I did put my, like, there's what I did like about the adults area is there's like a pool, but then there's a bunch of area where you can sit next to the pool where it's just for your feet to be in the water. You just have a drink and have your feet in the water, which was nice. The adults area was, I mean, it's smaller. Everything's smaller, but I never, like, I think the last time we went on a cruise, it was still COVID era, and so it was not a full ship. This ship, I probably was full, and I never felt overly crowded.
Not as big as the Dream either.
Yeah.
Was it like 10 decks, I think?
Something like that. And the weather was not great the first couple of days, rainy and windy. We only got some in the sort of the end days, so that might have kept some people off the pool decks. One of the cool things that I would say that sailing out of New Orleans, I guess I never realized how much of the Mississippi there is from New Orleans to the Gulf. Like, we were on the Mississippi for hours.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And it was really kind of cool. I was like, man, I'm sailing down the Mississippi. It's like,
that's neat. Check
that off the list.
How is the Gulf compared to the Atlantic? As far as waters, was it? Storms, was it?
It wasn't really storms. It was just sort of rainy and cloudy. Okay. There was only one night that I felt like the boat was a rocket. That was a couple of nights in. But by the time we got to the morning, it woke me up a few times because it was so rocky. Yeah.
Yeah, we had it on our cruise. It was scary.
Really?
The hangers in the closet were like,
yeah, that's what happens. And the ship was creaking.
But that's just
a lot.
Normal, though.
But you could, like, you felt like,
it wasn't as bad
you
as
felt
you
the ship,
it was.
Like, hitting the waves. Yeah, it was rough. That was scary. But that was my first time
My very first Disney cruise, we were back where the engines were. So there was vibrations whenever they were really running wide open.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I was basically midship, second deck. So right off the elevators. The elevators were fine, somewhat crowded. Obviously, being smaller, I use the stairs a lot.
Yeah.
You said you were midship?
I hated midship. The elevator situation.
Midship elevators are usually the busiest of any cruise ship for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's the easiest to find, I guess.
I always like aft on the Disney ships.
Food.
So, yeah, what else do you want to know? Food.
Did they have unlimited chicken tenders?
They did, of course, have unlimited chicken tenders. They did.
Did you eat some?
I only took advantage once, and I thought of you, but I got it. But it was a little bit different layout, and I kind of liked it. There's like the one side that's the pizzeria, Pinocchio's Pizzeria, that has Pinocchio's Pizzeria on one side and Pinocchio's Pizzeria bar. And then you had Frozone's like ice cream, and then next to it was like Frozone's bar. And like, yeah,
okay,
there's a bar. And then on the other, you turn the corner, and then you've got like the hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken tenders station. And then there was like Daisy's Delights, which I never went to, but it actually looked like it had like you could set up a noodle bowl, you could do salad. And then there was, of course, Cabanas, which is always there to delight and surprise. Yeah.
Okay.
So all of that was good. There's, of course, three dining rooms. There is Lumiere's. The first night we were there, we were in Rapunzel's Royal Table. And then we went to Lumiere's. Then we went to Animator's Palette. Then we went back to Animator's Palette and finished up at Rapunzel's Royal Table. Because the first night at Rapunzel's, no show, right? The show was safe. I would say Rapunzel's the first night was the worst of the food. I actually don't remember what I had, but I remember it not impressing. One of the things we did, we had five adults drinking wine, and we did the like prepay for one bottle per night, which was kind of fun. Because like with five adults, we basically all got a glass of wine.
Sure.
I think it was something like $250 for the premium wine package, which got us off the premium list. And we were able to get a wine bottle per night, and we would take turns picking who got the wine.
So it was basically $50 a night?
Basically.
For a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah.
So we did that. I would say, and that was not the best. Lumiere's good because it's similar to, what's the name of the dream that we ate at that has the escargots and the Chateaubriand and all of that?
Is it Royal Palace?
Royal Palace, yeah. Mm. It's basically that, which was always my favorite food.
It depends on which ship. I forget which one. One's Royal Palace and one's Royal Court on the Dream and the Fantasy. I forget which
Palace
one.
Palace sounds familiar to me, so it was probably that one.
Probably the Dream. Okay.
Yeah. So I liked that food a lot. The Animator's Palette, I remember that being one of my least favorites on the Dream. I've never gotten to sit on the side where you can talk and stuff. The food wasn't always my least favorite. Here, much better. The theming was really cool the first night. We go in, everything's black and white. The waiters and waitresses are wearing black and white suits. So there's like no color. And throughout the meal, color starts sort of slowly being added to some of the effects on the ceiling. And then there's the pictures on the wall that are like all these illustrations that slowly have more color. Then there's a show where like Mickey comes out, and then all of a sudden there's color, and then the whole place turns into color, and then all of that. It was really cool, much better in my opinion, and the food was done.
Okay. You don't get the magic of animation or whatever show, I guess. I think those are only 7-night sailings when you get that period, right?
I guess.
Like you were only in there one time for Animator's Palette?
I was there twice, but one of them was Pirate Night.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that was the second night, which is Pirate Night, which was really cool to be an Animator's Palette for Pirate Night, because on the screens, they were showing us all the, like, hand-drawn art from all the different pirate movies.
Cool.
Like, interesting. And the illustrations were really cool. We have a friend of ours who does art direction, and he's, like, a lead art director for a lot of Marvel movies, Disney movies, and whatnot. He knows some of those illustrators personally. He's like, oh, I know that guy. He's like, and he was really enjoying that, like seeing the really high quality illustrations that they had up on the screen of not just Pirates of the Caribbean, but there was the one where it's like Pirates in Space thing, something that Disney did one time, which he's like, oh, I didn't know about this movie, but he did. But it was like really good. We did an excursion that day that I'll talk about in a minute. And we were in Progreso, Mexico, and we got back to the port, like off the bus, and it was like 5:10, 5:15, and our dinner was at 5:45.
Holy.
Or maybe 5:20. I was like, we've got to be at dinner 20-25 minutes. And all of us got there, and we had to be at dinner in our pirate stuff.
Oh,
everybody got there in their pirate stuff.
Wow.
Dang.
But yeah, I liked that. I liked Animator's palette. And then we finished up at Rapunzel's Royal Table, and the show there was fine. I'm not okay. Like a big Tangled person.
Yeah.
You're not a Tangled person.
Yeah.
They came around and you got pictures and whatnot. I had a little banter with one of the characters who I like tried to rib him a little bit. And he's like, well, how's everybody doing tonight except that guy?
Nice.
You know, I like to get them when they're in character, like at Star Wars, Adam. Like, talk to them.
Hmm. How were the excursions since you brought that up and stops that you made?
So we had two stops, Cozumel and Progreso, Mexico. Nice. So at Cozumel, we were scheduled to do a dune buggy tour and like some snorkeling. Due to the weather, that got canceled the morning of. So we ended up staying on the ship a little bit longer. We got off for lunch, and we just walked the port. I didn't make any decisions at first. You know, they were just like, we're going to go to this place to eat. We walk like half a mile. We get there, and it's a coffee shop. And we're like, how are we eating a coffee shop in Cozumel?
Yeah.
So we're like, we're going to go somewhere else. And then we're walking back, and then all of a sudden, someone turns into this shop where they have tequila. Who knows if the tequila I ended up real or not. It tasted good, but we're doing shots of tequila and tasting it. I end up buying an over $200 bottle of tequila.
How many pesos?
I don't know. Well, it wasn't supposed to be as much as it was because we were dumb and didn't know the exchange rate. So we negotiated down a lower price. And then later I saw my credit card, and the way he got us is he's like, oh, it's 19 pesos to a dollar when it's $2.
So he got you on the exchange rate.
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember buying something there and seeing the receipts, and it's like something like 30,000 pesos or something for right. I was like, I have no idea what this actually is.
Right.
We ate lunch there. It was fine. And then everybody wanted to go back, but I didn't. So I hung out by myself for a little while in Cozumel and had a few drinks before I got back on the ship.
Do they still, right there at the exit, I guess, or where you're entering the port, have several of those guys that are like pretending to be statues?
Yes, they did. They got some of our folks that did that.
Okay.
Yes.
There's some folks.
Yes. I mean, Cozumel's a total tourist trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had some good drinks, though. I had a few shots of tequila. So we joked after the cruise. So one of the kids on the cruise got a little sick, but she powered through. And then after the cruise, a lot of people ended up getting sick, I think with like a cold or flu or something. I didn't get sick. And I told them that's because I kept myself disinfected with a constant stream of alcohol in my system. It killed all the germs.
Whatever helps you sleep at night.
Yeah.
Bleach. Maybe that was the bottle of bleach you had. Instead of tequila.
There's no telling what they sold you.
This is Le Clorox.
Well, next time we hang out, Adam, I will open that bottle and we'll taste it. It's extra añejo.
Oh, okay.
Delicious tequila.
So that's what you were doing shots of, and you ended up buying a bottle of it?
Well, we did shots of like everything from the Blanco all the way up. Most people bought the Reposado, but you know, being an esteemed tequila drinker, having done the tequila experience at Epcot, I knew that I like extra añejo. And then whenever he was naming prices, like, dang it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. You know how vacation Jason is. He's like, I'll buy it, whatever. So
you still have it at home.
I have it.
The trip back. All right.
It survived the trip back. I have it.
Made it through customs.
I'm going to share some of it with you, Adam. Be good.
Sure.
So we did that. So no excursion on that trip.
Yeah.
Progreso, which I had never heard of Progreso, but is on the Yucatan.
Where is this?
Yeah, it's on the Yucatan in Mexico.
Okay.
Apparently, Progreso is the longest port in the world.
Interesting.
Not the longest port, the longest pier.
Longest pier, okay.
Right. So where from, they said from land to the end of it's like 3 to 5 miles or something like that. It is a long pier.
Hmm.
And I don't think a lot of cruise ships pull in. But it was interesting. And this is one of the reasons we chose this cruise. All of the kids go to school together.
Uh-huh.
They have studied recently the Mayan culture.
Okay.
And on this, we did an excursion, which was 3 parts. One of it was Mayan ruins.
Okay.
Then they took us to a resort beach area where we had lunch.
Okay.
And then they took us to a natural pool, which was like natural spring pool or whatever that we went to. So it was like a 6-hour excursion. It was a pretty long excursion. The Mayan ruins were cool. The tour guide was awesome, Jorge. Because the kids talked his ear off. We sat at the front of the bus. And it was like, we had like a 40-minute bus ride out. And then like, we worked our way back. So they were talking a long time. The Mayan ruins were cool to see. The beach place, the food was good. It was fine. The beach was kind of lame because it was covered in seaweed from all the storms. But whatever. Wow. I had a shot of tequila there. So it was great. Because it came with a drink ticket. So I used my drink ticket on my shot.
The beaches that I experienced when we were in Cozumel anyway, or at least the one beach, a little bit, the water there was really hard to see through. Like I remember the GoPro footage I had, it was pretty cloudy.
Well, the seaweed had come in because of the storms, but the thing that was interesting is like, I didn't even go to this beach. I just know what others that walk out there.
I think ours was Playa del Carmen on.
Yeah. But apparently it stays like chest level or below for a really long ways out there, which is why that pier is so long, is because the water is not deep until you get really far out.
I see.
And so we did all of that. The natural pool was my favorite part, going out there and swimming around in that. And like all the kids finally got in and, it was the pool that we were in was... I was the only one that could stand up, so all the kids were like, I want to hang off for
Yeah.
So it was fun. We got back to the ship. Like I said, we had 25 minutes from getting on the ship to get to dinner. Somehow we pulled it off.
Wow.
So
amazing.
Did you do any bonus meals? You know what I mean? Like Palo or something like that, for instance?
We did not. They only have Palo on the Magic.
And that's what I mean.
You did not.
You didn't book Palo. Okay.
You did get a massage, though, right?
So I did two spa things. Oh, wow. So on number one, a couple of things I learned. Number one, I'm a DVC member, right? So I got my daily DVC gift.
Oh, okay.
I did my massages and my spa treatments on the days at sea. Apparently, as a DVC member, if I had opted to do my spa treatments on a port day, I could get 10 or 15% off or something.
Oh, nice.
DVC members get a discount on port days. But I did. I also got 10% off at Mickey's main sale, the stores. So I became the kids' friends because the other parents, I would buy the stuff and then they would pay me back. So the kids thought I bought them all there.
Of course. That's funny.
You get all the benefit.
I'm their walking discount, as they started to call me.
Yes.
So the first sale day, which is the first full day we were on there, I did a 100-minute massage.
It's a long one.
It was incredible. I fell asleep at the end. I was so relaxed.
Okay.
Amazing.
Is it still Senses?
Yes, it's called Senses. I don't know if they actually have it, but it's called Senses. So that was one treatment. Amazing. The other one was on the last full day. I've never gone to a spa and done a facial before. And that was almost more relaxing than the massage. I did a 50-minute facial.
Interesting.
Where they like put all the creams on my face and the skin, and it was really nice. And then they like massage you on the shoulders and your feet, hair. And I don't know. That was incredible. I would do that again. That was
now.
Awesome.
Were these kind of hard to book? Were they rare, or did you?
I booked them before the cruise started.
How far in advance?
Whenever. I booked the cruise kind of late, so maybe like a month. Month and a half, it was a few weeks before.
In my experience on the Dream and Fantasy, though, it was kind of limited as far as what you could get.
Well, on the 3-night cruises, it's hard to get. This was a 5-night cruise, so.
Well, I was talking about the 7-night one. Really, I think we ended up getting like a Swedish massage. I think the first time.
Interesting. I did not, because I know there was whenever the first excursion got canceled, one of the other couples on the ship ended up just booking a same-day massage for one of them since we weren't on the ship. Because they had done this thing where they had bought all these Disney gift cards, at, you know, stamps or whatever, where you can get the discount. And they loaded up their account. And then we got the refund for the excursion. They're like, I don't know if we're going to spend all this money. So they went and got a massage.
Nice. Wow. Cool.
So those were amazing. Those spa treatments. Fantastic.
I don't think the Magic doesn't have the simulators, right? Like the Dream and the Fantasy, the sports simulators. I didn't think it did.
They didn't even have a mini golf.
Yeah. Well, it was built in a different era, right? It was 1998, so.
Yeah. So, entertainment. Well, let's start about kids' clubs. Most of the kids love the kids' club. My son said the Dreams kids' club was much better. He didn't really want to go. Almost basically had to bribe him to go. But he's also, I think he's 9, which he's in that weird phase where. Yeah.
Kind of like a transition.
He might be a little too old for Oceaneers Lab and Club to think it's cool.
Right.
I also know that they have like the Wii or the Switches on the Dream, which. Like, anytime I took him there, he would always be on their little iPad and playing their games on the iPad.
Mm.
But, you know, I thought they were well done. I did the tours of them, and they have obviously been, you know, refurbished here in the last drive. They were very nice. Yeah.
I have no doubt that this ship looks way different than it did 20 years ago.
But he was the only kid that didn't really want to go. But we did give our kids the freedom. This was really nice because they're all third grade, 9 years old. When they finish dinner, you know how they don't come pick them up anymore?
Yeah.
They were 9. We told them they can take themselves to kids' club. So we let them go all by themselves, and they would go check themselves in.
Nice.
Which was cool. He did spend some time there, but his overall review was negative. The other kids' reviews were positive. They were always asking to go. Might just be my son.
He's done it before too, and on a different ship. So,
I think that he's in that transition. I think once he gets to like, I think it's 11 when he goes to the next club, and once you start trying to like care about friends and making friends, you know, when you get to that tween phase, that's the allure of the next club. You get to go make.
Well, I mean, I can understand it though because there's some things about the Dream that it's like the Magic would probably seem like a step back almost, even with a refurbishment.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
So that was the kids club. Entertainment wise, I had never actually done a show. So we tried a couple of shows. We tried the Tangled show on the first night. My son did not like it. So after like a couple of songs, like, I want to go. So I got up with him and sort of roamed around Mickey's mainsail while everybody else watched it sit on the deck. It was fine. He just wasn't into it. That's the Tangled show.
So that was the show.
One of the other nights was like a reimagining of Cinderella or something with like time travel, or like there's an evil fairy, like not a fairy godfather, but like an evil one or something that gives the stepsisters and everything the ability to like,
it's like reverse.
Yes, reverse. But anyways, I watched that one. I thought it was fine. I enjoyed it. But like, we realized that half the people kind of want to watch shows and the other half don't. So Andrew did. So I watched at least one show. The thing that was kind of a hit was there was the night where they showed the Wish, the Disney Wish movie theater. And the kids love that. You know, all of them got like the little star. Plushie of some kind. To me, that was my first time seeing Wish. Kids loved it. My biggest thing is I can't remember a single song of that movie. I don't even know the names of any of the songs. Like it's totally forgettable. Mm-hmm. Right?
You know, it's funny when you said that. The very first cruise I went on, I don't know why I remember this, but the Disney movie that was out at the time is a very obscure one. It was The Odd Life of Timothy Green was what they were showing. That was the Disney movie at the time.
Wow. Yeah. In the big theater?
Yes.
Wow.
But it was nice, though, because we bought the popcorn buckets like you do at the parks, the Disney like cruise line popcorn buckets. And there was like $1.50 to refill the popcorn buckets.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, that's a good deal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did the popcorn bucket deal.
Do they have the Midship Detective game on they the
did
magic?
Not. I did miss the detective game. They did not have the detective.
I didn't think they did, but I couldn't remember.
I liked that on the Dream and Fantasy. I missed that part, at least. I think the kids would have liked that.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things that I was like, I wish the ship, like, I was thinking actively, like, why did the ship have this? Like, that would have been nice. Dry Dock,
you would think they
could have
added it by now, yeah.
But they would have had to have had the interactive, like, screens and stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. You've been on the Dream. Did they have the Muppet version or no?
They did.
They did. Okay. Yeah, well, originally, they didn't on the Dream. They added it to the Dream, probably the last Dry Dock that they had. Okay.
Yeah. They had much better merch than I did last time because we were during COVID when we did last time. I got myself a Disney Magic pin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was like my purchase. Did not splurge for any, you know, watches or used Rolexes or anything like that. They try to sell you. So didn't do any of that. But, you know, it's all good. Got my daily Disney Vacation Club gift. They were all kind of semi-way. You got like a bag one day. One day we got some lip balm that was like branded Disney Vacation Club.
Wow.
Yeah. We got a lanyard.
Uh-huh.
What else did I get? I don't know. It was kind of weird. But they did upgrade the lanyards you get as a Castaway Club member. They're much nicer. I think my ex sent you a picture of them. Like, they upgraded those, and the bag is different that you get as well. So an overall maybe review is that I really like the Magic. I think that the Dream Magic have different pros and cons.
Well, they're totally
by
different
myself,
ships.
If I was going by myself, I'd probably go Magic.
Okay.
If I'm going with my son, I feel like I'm going to go back to the Dream because he was like, I don't like this kids' club and they went Aqueduct. But I think everybody that was on that cruise decided that next year we're all going to go again, but we're going to go on the Treasure because we're all very excited. They did like before one of the shows that I didn't go to, they did like a preview of the Treasure and like hyped up the ship, and the kids were like, I want to go on that ship.
There,
but
yeah.
Like, I think, you know, how they had like the Star Wars bar on the Wish, but the stuff they're putting on the Treasure like really appeals to me. It looks really awesome.
Well, I think you're going to have to go on a 7-night one for the Treasure.
I'm not mad about that. I want a Treasure 7-night with the new, what's it called? Lookout point or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. Did you miss not stopping at Castaway? Or
I did. We missed that. Also, I was talking to them about the Castaway Club levels. And I know we talked about how they added Pearl, right? For 25 sailings. But have y'all noticed that there is a 50 plus sailing perk?
What's the perk?
There's a 50 plus.
So who has that, Pete and who?
Right. Well,
50 plus, well, you know, Pete's canceled.
If he's been banned or not.
50 plus milestone commemorative display. Guests who have completed 50 or more sailings with Disney Cruise Line can commemorate this milestone by displaying their family last name on Disney Castaway Key. Limited availability while supplies last.
So see, what I'm going to have to do now is go to Castaway and see whose names are out there, because it can't be very many.
Is that JPEG sign gone yet? It should be.
There is no way.
So with 50, you can get your name up at Castaway Key.
Okay. I guess that's worth all that millions of dollars at that point that you spent to get there.
Right. Well, 50, let's say the minimum you're going to spend on a cruise at Disney is $2,000 or $3,000. Like, isn't that like the minimum to get out of port? Like $2,000.
At least,
basically.
Yeah. I mean, if it's by yourself. Yeah.
I think that's a big discount, actually. But go ahead.
Right. But let's say, like, what's the minimum
the average
you're going to spend? It's going to be more like $5,000 or $6,000 a cruise, right?
No, we'll say that. Yeah, let's just say
but
that.
But let's say $4,000. Okay, we'll say $4,000. Mm-hmm. 50 cruises. That's $200,000.
Good Lord.
Yeah,
I could have thought of a better way to spend my money just thinking about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a Disney cruise, but
sure.
I don't know that I could have.
Imagine the people that have done 50 concierge sailings.
That's in the millions.
They could almost bought the ship.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. In the 4 sailings that I've done, I have probably spent close to $20,000, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
The only downside to the way I did it this time, being split, you know, I had a cabin technically by myself, although my son ended up staying in it every night.
And you said it was Ocean View, right?
Port it was Ocean View.
Room size okay with it being an older ship?
Yeah, it was great. It was fine.
Okay.
I basically didn't notice any problems with it. And it was one of the, you know, the Ocean View rooms are smaller than some of the veranda rooms. I've been in the bigger veranda rooms, so it was no problem. Also, it was just me. My son would stay in the room every night. But, like, the only downside, whenever you're a single in a cabin, they still charge you the two-person
occupancy. Right. Double occupancy. Yeah.
So, that's the only downside. You know,
yeah. Go with at least two people.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, since we haven't heard your review of certain things, I did want to throw in some.
All right,
the tequila tasting you did. What was that experience like? Do you love?
So I did the La Cava tequila tasting back when I was there for the Every Ride Challenge, which, by the way, the Every Ride Challenge was awesome. I do hope that y'all could come next year. Great crew, yeah, lots of fun to go on the scavenger hunt with Betsy. And her husband, who I know are listening. Hi, Betsy.
Yes.
How you doing?
Thank you,
Betsy. We did a round of shots together, so that was also good. At Bar Riva on that scavenger hunt. Lots of great time. I did do the La Cava del Tequila tasting. It takes place in the Hacienda de San Angel, the one that's across the street from the better one, yes.
Right, that's you said it right.
They really walk you through añejo, reposado, blanco, the differences, mezcal, what all the differences are. The guy is from the town of Tequila that does it. He's the general manager of
appropriate
La Cava del Tequila.
Okay, that's cool.
So he walked through it. Was really, you know, you get the guacamole. I thought it was fantastic. I would do it again if I was with you, because I've done it once. I don't need to do it like every time, but if I was with you, Adam, I would do it again.
Yeah.
Just to do experience. It was lots of fun. Loved it. Would recommend if you like tequila. And I immediately finished there and went straight over to La Cava.
Right. And kept going. Yeah.
Exactly.
So while you were there as well, you did the Jollywood during that trip. Is that?
Yep.
Comparable to Not So Scary, is it?
I also did the Christmas party too.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that was your first Christmas party too, right?
It was my first Christmas party as well. Jollywood. Overall negative review for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Can they make it better? This year would be better if they improve it.
It needs improvement. I tried the bars. I tried the Tower Terror bar, which that was fine. That was actually, I think the drink I got there was okay-ish. I did the Brown Derby thing, which was lame.
Yeah, everyone said very disappointing.
Baseline, even though it wasn't advertised, had special drinks, and I just got regular Baseline drinks, and that was fine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, they had like some spirit drinks, if you will. The lines were fine if you wanted to ride rides, but overall, I really felt like I didn't get my money's worth of that one.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing the challenge, and if I was beating Muppet Vision 4D at the time that I quit the challenge to go do this, and I totally could have finished the challenge.
Yeah, because they finished.
I think I would have spent my time better finishing the challenge rather than going to Jollywood. Yeah. Now, granted, I don't regret the decision because I wanted to experience Jollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
So overall, it was a good experience in that regard to do it one time, but overpriced for what I got.
But Mickey's Very Merry.
I enjoyed. Yes, because they've been doing that for years. You're paying for it. You've got a parade. Special fireworks. You've got overlays on rides. Like, that's the thing that Jolly was missing. Cookies. They need an overlay. Like, just light up Slinky Dog with some red and green and put a little bit different soundtrack on it or something. Put a soundtrack on Saucers. Like, I don't know, just some overlays is all you need.
I said they should do Rock and Roller Coaster with the Rockin' on Top of the World, since it was still Steven Tyler from Polar Express.
There's no overlays. There's not really a special parade. There's there's basically nothing like that, and it's almost the same price, right? You're basically just paying for the right to go buy special drinks that aren't that great.
Yeah.
So on the whole, not as good. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party was great.
Worth it. Yeah. Okay. I think that was all I had.
Any other reviews you need to...
Right. I was trying to think. Any other...
Barbas is still great, always.
Of course. Yeah.
Shout out to Barbas.
You'll be back in a month?
Yes. I'm going essentially... It's basically the first week of April. Very end of March, first week of April. It's a solo trip. Currently, I may have to go back. It maybe have to be a 6-night stay, but I currently have a 7-night stay booked at a Riviera Tower Studio for the whole time because I booked this 11 months in advance.
Right. And this is the first week in April?
Yes.
Okay.
The Masters week.
So I've stayed in the Tower Studio for 2 nights last year during spring break, but remember I did a split stay for all of our loyal listeners. I did a split stay. I did the Riviera Studio, the Riviera Tower Studio. I bounced around. This is going to be the Tower Studio is perfect for a solo trip. You know, you just have the Murphy bed, big bathroom, all of that, and you're at the Riviera. It's awesome.
Nice.
On the Magic, I don't know if the proper term is adult area, but the section that has most of the night entertainment.
They call it after hours there.
Yeah, the after hours entertainment. What was the comparison of those choices versus, say, the Dream, since you've done the Dream?
They have a pub, so they have O'Gill's, which is similar to the pub that's on the Dream.
Okay. Well, they have an O'Gill's in Fantasy.
Right. So they all have, like, a pub that has beer. They had Keys, which was a piano bar, which I only got to go to once, but the ladies really went to like almost every night, and I really liked that. Then they had Fathoms, which I never went to, which seemed to be like it seemed to be more like family oriented during the day. There were like magic shows. There were the Silent Dance Club. I never went in there. That was more like the big area. But overall, there was slightly less to do there, but still enough.
Okay. Because my comparison, like that particular section, most of the Dream and the Fantasy are almost identical. But that was one of the areas that was named differently, outlined slightly differently. I always preferred the Fantasy to the Dream, really, for
that
particular section.
There was fewer things to do in the adult area than on the Fantasy or
but,
Dream.
But, you know, in my case, I'm comparing sister ships, really.
Yeah, yeah. Different categories or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you think on the Dream, right, you have the Skyline Lounge, you have the Pink Bar, you have the pub, you have, like, the open area, and then you have, like, the room where they do bingo.
Yeah.
There's basically one more area on the Dream. Than on the Magic. Now, the one thing that was weird about the adult area on the Magic is right between the pub and the bingo room, Fathoms, there was the, like, shop that sells all the, like, kids' costumes.
That's weird.
Like,
that's
why
great.
Is that
very
here?
Odd placement, yeah.
It's like the princess costumes. I'm like, that's the stupidest place to put that shop.
Weird. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Thanks for talking us through that trip report and the card game, which I forgot the name of already again. But
Lorcana.
Lorcana. Sorry. It's going to take me a while to get that on my... But yeah,
do anything Disney puts out, you know?
Yeah. We need like a blog post about that so we can learn more about it. But where can we be found, John, so that people can find all that?
Well, we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram, we have an X account, and that is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store still, in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel, which I'm kind of responsible for and haven't updated in a while, but hopefully I can put something out there. And you can find that where
John's doing a live stream next week. That's
right.
You got to live stream your card opening, your box unboxing.
There you go. You can do
that's
that.
That's right.
People would watch. Yeah. So that's all on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. And email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We have a travel agent friend. You can book your Disney cruise or Disney World, Disneyland trip with on our website. So for Jason and John, and my name is Adam, this has been Traveling with a Mouse. We hope you will join us on our next trip. Or cruise.
Which part of the ship's your favorite, Adam? The aft?
Yeah.
When it comes to the Disney ships, actually, yes. Let's see, I've done 4 cruises. I've actually done forward, middle, and aft, and out of those 4 cruises, and aft is the best.
It's always best in the aft.
Yes.